All right, everyone. We are now joined by our third place finisher, Chase Elliott, driver of the number 9 Napa Auto Parts Chevrolet. We are going to go straight to questions for Chase. We will start off with Bob Pockris.
Yeah, Chase, what does it mean to be part of a day when Hendrick goes 1, 2, 3, 4?
Really cool. Glad Mr. Hendrick was here. You know, he hasn't been at just a few races this year, so he picked a good one today. Just proud of our whole team. I mean, everybody at HMS, I feel like we have a really talented group of people that work really hard. And it's just nice to see their hard work awarded like that and in that manner and in that type of domination. I mean, those guys led, Kyle and Alex pretty much led the whole race. So really cool. Just really proud of everybody and glad to be a part of the team.
Thank you.
Next, we'll go to Mark Garrow.
Thank you. Congratulations on a good run today, Chase. We're halfway through the regular season. What do you think of your team's performance at this point, and how do you kind of grade things out?
I think we're in a good place as far as where we ended the day today. I thought we were close. We just needed I need to do just a tick better. You know, I need to have a little better restarts and, you know, have just a tick more pace, but I really thought we were pretty close. So happy with our run.
Any races in the first half of the year that you'd like to have back that you thought maybe you could have won?
No, that's why we race.
All right, thanks.
Next, we're going to go to Jacob Seelman.
Thanks, Steph. Chase, obviously, to do as an organization what you guys did today, it's not easy. 2005, the only other time it's been done. I mean, is there a way to characterize just how difficult it is for one team to kind of put a thrashing on the rest of the field the way the 400 cars did today?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously because of the significance of it, of how – I guess you said it's only been done one other time. Is that right?
Three times, but once in the modern era. I think Roush in 05.
Okay. Well, then, yeah, there you go. It's obviously really hard. It's one thing to have four fast cars. I think that happens fairly often. But to have four fast cars combined with four very well-executed races, it's a cool thing, and it's very hard to do.
Is that a case of teamwork? I mean, have you guys been working closer together compared to previous years, or just, you know, everybody hitting on all cylinders at the right time?
Yeah, man, I feel like our communication is good, but I feel like it's been good in the past too. So I wish I could say that or give you a really good reason as to why, but, you know, I just think everybody in our company is really motivated right now and working hard to provide fast cars, and I feel like everybody's pulling the rope in the same direction, as good or better than it's ever been since I've been there, and I think that's key. But I think as far as our communication and how closely we work, I don't really know that that's much different.
All right, and we are also joined by our second place finisher, Kyle Larson, driver of the number 5 Nations Guard Chevrolet. So if you have a question for either Kyle or Chase, please raise your hand. We're going to go next to Lee Spencer.
Thank you. Just for Chase real quick, did you have any of the brake issues that the 24 and the 48 experienced through the course of the race?
Fortunately, no, I did not.
Thank you.
Next, we're going to go to Daryl Kinsey.
Chase, how does a race like this build in the next week going into Circuit of the Americas road course, where you've been pretty strong at those types of tracks your last couple of years?
Yeah, honestly, you know, it really doesn't. They're all kind of new opportunities, in my opinion, and, you know, new weeks, and obviously a much different track than what we raced on today. So I don't feel like there's really any comparison at all.
All right, next we're going to go to Alan Cavana.
This one's for Chase. I'm just planning ahead to the Coke 600, where Hendrick should be pretty fast again, as we've seen, as it's a tracks like it earlier this year. You've come just about as close as possible to winning it. Can you just describe how tough it is to win a race like the Coke 600?
I haven't found an easy one to win personally, so I think they're all pretty difficult, and I don't think the Coke 600 is any different.
Is that last 100 miles any more significant than the past, where it was about attrition, or what does that do for a driver?
No, as much as you want me to say yes, the answer is no. I mean, it's just not any different, really. It just happens to be another 100 miles.
Right. Still a crown jewel, though, for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Chase.
All right, Chase, thanks for joining us. We're going to let you move on to your next media obligation, and we'll continue on with questions for Kyle Larson here. We will go to Bob.
Yeah, Kyle, do you feel like you're still learning some about the Hendrick cars, just as far as like restarts and other things, or do you feel like you're totally comfortable with the cars?
No, I mean, it all seemed pretty normal to me today. I don't know. Do you think I could have did anything different on a restart, Bob?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out if you feel like you've, I'm going to say given it away, but do you feel like that there's still learning for you to do with these specific cars that potentially could help you be even stronger down the road?
Well, I mean, I think you learn every time you hit the racetrack, you learn something. So, I'm sure I learned something today, and we'll be better again in the future.
Thank you.
Next, we're going to go to Chris Estrada.
Thank you. Kyle, this is the 267th win for Hendrick Motorsports. It's not every day you have an opportunity to catch and eclipse the king for a record. How meaningful is it to you to have contributed to those wins with your win at Las Vegas? And does having that record in front of you, do you feel like it'll add even more motivation for you and the four-car table as a whole, or is it just business as usual at COTA and beyond?
I mean, I think it's definitely business as usual, but we all know that that milestone is out in front of us. We know that it's really important to Mr. H. He mentions it almost every time I feel like I talk to him. So, you know, I hope we can get there quickly. I hope I'm the driver to do it and break that record whenever we get to it. But yeah, it's definitely a cool milestone that, you know, I think is obviously important to him. And to have a day like we all had today with, you know, all four of us in the top four, that's never been done at HMS. So, this year has been great so far for organization, and we look forward to adding to it.
And if I could just do a quick follow-up, compared to Kansas, your quick post-race comments to TV sounded like it was more magnanimous about being second. So was it simply a fact of having all four Hendrick cars being equal as they are on lap times for performance, and whoever had clean air simply had the edge today?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't know if there was anything I could have done differently to win the race after we came out second on pit road. You know, I would choose the top behind him and get to second every time. You know, maybe I could have chose the bottom one restart, but I still don't think I would have stayed with him to his inside or anything like that. Probably would have fell back to third or so. So I feel like we maximized our day. We were all just so equal. I think any of the four of us could have been out in the lead, and that person probably would have won. So you know, we were all equal, and their picker did an awesome job. But our picker has been amazing all year too. So like I said, I'm not disappointed or upset about this second, because I feel like there wasn't anything else I could do.
Thank you, Kyle.
Next, we're going to go to Martin Frank with the Delaware News Journal.
Hey, Kyle. I wanted to ask you, you know, last year you guys were here, obviously, and there were no fans in the stands. And, you know, this year it seemed like a decent crowd. And eventually you guys will be racing in front of full capacity. Just kind of like what it's like, you know, to be racing now more regularly in front of fans and, you know, more and more as the season gets, it goes along.
Yeah, I didn't get to experience it all last year. But I could imagine it was probably eerie, you know, not having any fans at these races, but today it felt close to normal. So was definitely happy to hear the crowd, you know, yelling and screaming before the race and afterwards too. So, you know, things are starting to feel like they're getting back to normal. I think we all love not having to wear masks in the, throughout the garage area and outside anymore. So yeah, it's getting normal again and we're getting fans back, which is great.
Next, we're going to go to Alan Cavana.
Hey, Kyle, I'm just planning ahead for the Coke 600. For drivers, a crown jewel race for a driver like yourself, you know, Daytona, the Coke 600, your next opportunity at one. Do you think about those things ultimately, you know, in your career and on your trophy mantle, if you will, a trophy like the Coke 600?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I haven't thought about that race yet because it's we still have Coda and I don't know, maybe something else after that. But yeah, I mean, we all want to win the big ones. You know, I've been fortunate to win the All-Star race, which, you know, is a crown jewel. But for sure, you want to win all of them. You want to win, honestly, every race. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely one that's up there that means a lot. You know, I think the purse is really big too. So that I think that adds some ambition for everybody to want to go out there and win.
And can you just describe how that race plays out in terms of the day-night thing with the extra 100 miles, the challenge of that for you?
Yeah, I'm curious and excited to get there in Hendrick equipment. At Ganassi, I would always run really well at the All-Star race, and then I would run pretty good the first third of the 600 or so, and then I would always seem to lose the balance once it went to nighttime. So, yeah, I guess we'll see what the difference is this year, but you know, maybe it'll be a lot different too, because we don't have the All-Star race and stuff like that, all the extra laps on the track. So maybe it'll suit me a little bit better.
Thank you.
Next, we'll go to Lee Spencer.
Thank you. Just curious, Kyle, had it been anyone other than Bowman on the restart that had the lead, would you have been more aggressive? Because, I mean, clearly you don't want to take your teammate out on a restart.
No, I mean, I was really aggressive that one where I got to his bumper and pushed him through the middle of one and two, and then again in the middle of three and four. So at that point, I didn't really care if it was a teammate in front of me or not. I wasn't going to push him any harder than I was there, because I'd already had him pretty sideways. And same would have went for anybody else. You know, I'm not going to try and wreck anybody. So and the four car was coming really fast up top, so I didn't want to, you know, give him an advantage, just, you know, smoke by all of us. And you never know, with him out front, he could be really, really fast. So we didn't want that to happen.
And do you take any solace in winning stages and leading the most laps?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it all looks good for stats and stuff, laps led, but you know, winning the two stages and gaining those couple points for the playoffs is really important. Obviously we would have wanted, you know, five more with the win, but you know, we'll take what we can get and keep stacking them up as often as we can, and just try and position ourselves to be in a good spot come playoff time. So yeah, if you can't win the race, you definitely want to have a good points day.
Appreciate your time. Safe travels.
Thanks.
All right, we're going to take one more for Kyle. It'll come from Jacob Seelman.
Thanks, Steph. Kyle, you mentioned it's not what you wanted, but a big day for the organization as a whole. Chase said that he hasn't felt like communication has been too much different. And I know you haven't been at Hendrick Motorsports as long as the other guys, but what have you noticed as far as all four cars, you know, running as well as they have? Or is there anything specific that you can attribute to how strong the team's been as a whole?
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, they've obviously had an amazing race team for a very, very long time. And I have found it interesting, you know, multiple times throughout this year, Marshall Carlson at HMS, you know, he'll, you know, talk about how everybody in the shop is so excited to be working there and working on our race cars, and they've never seen the organization happier and more excited to go racing than they now. And I find that crazy to think, you know, because I mean, you look at all the races that Jimmy Johnson and Jeff Gordon and you know, they've had multiple like powerhouse drivers at one time on their team, and for them to be saying this is the most excited they've ever been is pretty unreal to me when we've got, you know, four just young guys in the sport and who haven't really won many races when you really think about it compared to the guys that used to be there before us. So but I think, you know, maybe seeing a little bit of the future is what, you know, gets everybody really excited there. But yeah, just an awesome day for the organization, and glad I could be a part of it.
All right, Kyle, thanks for joining us today. Congratulations on the run with Hendrick today.
Thank you.
Great job,
buddy. All right, everyone. We are now joined by the owner of Hendrick Motorsports, Rick Hendrick, whose cars finished 1, 2, 3, and 4 today. We are going to open it straight up to questions for Mr. Hendrick. Please raise your hand in the reactions tab if you have one, and we will open it up with Bob Pockris.
Yeah, Rick, I'm curious, was this something that you kind of, was this on a bucket list for you at all to see your cars go 1, 2, 3, 4 in a race?
You know, you, every time you enter a race, you'd like to see them run 1, 2, 3, 4. But, you know, the feeling is unbelievable. It was probably the longest last 100 laps that I've ever seen in a race, just because I kind of wanted to see it so bad. We're so close, and to be able to pull that off, that's kind of one of those things in racing that you would say was on your bucket list. So I'm extremely happy and proud of all the guys, and it was a great day for the organization.
Thank you.
Next up will be Mark Garrow.
Thank you. Congratulations, Rick. That was pretty awesome. One away now from Richard Petty, Petty Enterprises. We just heard from Kyle Larson that he said that you talk about this all the time with them, or remind them how close you are. Just how big of a deal would it be for you to catch now and tie? You just went away.
Well, you know, Richard is a good friend, and he's the king of the sport. And but anytime there's a record out there and you have an opportunity to break it or tie it, you know, I think back a few years back, and I thought it would be impossible. If you told me in 1984 that you're going to be here for this long, or that you had an opportunity to win all these races and championships, I kind of pinched myself, because you know, it's just really hard to do, and the sport's so competitive right now. I know our guys are working together better than they ever have. In the shop with Chad and Jeff Andrews, and you know, we've got a lot of talented people, and it's good to see these young guys like William. You know, it's just 11 races in the top 10. You know, when you look at that, and now we have 4 wins this year. Chase has been so close, and we've got some great tracks for him coming up. So I'm real proud of the folks, and I just love to see guys like Cliff or Greg, you know, become star crew chiefs. So it's all been really good for us, and good to have Rudy. I mean, Rudy and put Rudy and William together was like magic. And so, you know, we just have to keep digging, because everybody behind us is, you know, they're going to be there every week. And, you know, I'm glad we got it done one time. I don't know if we'll ever do it again, but because I've seen Joe do it. I've seen Penske do it. I've seen Stuart Haas, maybe not win all three cars, but, you know, see them dominate a race. So, we just got to get ready and go do it again and show up and have our game face on and do the best we can.
Rick, as a follow-up to that, when did you start to think that perhaps I can catch Petty? Did you get to 150 or 200 and think, well, maybe, what point did that become a goal?
Yeah, one time I thought, well, I'm not going to live long enough to do this. It was around 250. And then last year we clicked them off. And then this year, everybody, actually, I really tried not to think about it until this year. And this year, when everybody started talking about it, then I thought, man, this is in reach. And so I'm real proud of the organization. And I'll say this about Richard. Nobody in this sport has ever given as much as he has. And to see him on pit road and see him signing every autograph, I've got one of his autographs from when I couldn't get in the garage area through the fence at Martin's. So I know what that feels like, but you know, he's just a tremendous ambassador for the sport, and somebody will break my record. If I get the record, somebody will break it by me.
Thank you, Rick.
Next, we're going to go to Jordan Bianchi.
Hi, Rick. I have two questions for you. The first question is, we've seen over the last few years, you know, a Hendrick team, mostly the 9 team, kind of, you know, be dominant and win races. But now you've got sustained success across the organization with all 4 cars. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think that, we've had superstars that win. We've won 17 races before in a year, and one car was just dominant, maybe too dominant, and the others were just kind of, just so-so. But the way we've kind of started like 4 or 5 years ago, just putting all the engineers in one place, putting all the crew chiefs in one place, taking our best folks, like Ron Malik, and they're in charge of this part of the vehicle, and Chad's there in the shop, and you got Jeff Andrews, and when I look at the way they're working together and respect that the drivers have for each other, they want to beat each other. I mean, that's what we pay them to do, but I don't think we've ever, well, I know we don't, we've never had the focus on 4, maybe we wanted to, maybe we tried to. But when they all are in there together, and you could give one of the other guys this car and it wouldn't know the difference. So swap cars. But it's just it's rewarding to see, and to see Marshall and Jeff Andrews, Chad, the crew chiefs, all of the folks working, and Chevrolet. GM has been a big supporter, and Richard Childress and I now have aligned to do things together. And boy, that's going to make a big difference, has made a difference. So he's a good friend. I respect him a ton. So there's a lot of things that have come together. And, but I think I loving these, having these young guys that are all so young, having Kyle in the mix, he just drives the wheels off of it. And I think they all make each other better. And so to see William blossom like he has, and Alex, a guy that didn't have a chance, now have 2 wins this year and finished 6th in the points last year. I think the future is really bright for us. And you just have, there's nothing that beats teamwork, and you're stronger together. That's been my philosophy on the automobile side and in the racing side. And I was told early on that I never win a championship having multiple cars. So it's worked. But it's all about people. I don't care what kind of business you're in. If you're in, it doesn't make any difference. It's people that make the difference.
The second question I have is about Alex Bowman's future with your team. His contract is up at the end of the year. I'm wondering if you can give an update on where things are at, and if an extension is, close to being done.
Yeah, we've already started. It should be done anytime. We want Alex there. He wants to be there, and it's just a kind of disappointing formality.
Is it a multi-year deal, last year? Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Next, we'll go to Jim Utter.
Hey, Rick. Congratulations.
Hey, Jim. A
couple questions for you. First, you were talking about Alex. It's one thing to get the opportunity to join Hendrick Motorsports in general, but the this year with him taking over the 48 and stepping into that ride that had made so much history, and then planning the car in Victory Lane at Dover, can you just talk a little bit about how Alex has embraced this opportunity?
Well, first of all, Ally, the sponsor, we're great partners in the car business and in racing. And when you replaced Jimmy Johnson, they were more than willing and wanted to let Alex have a chance. And I told Alex, I said, you can't, you got to be your own guy. You can't be Jimmy Johnson light. You just got to be. You got to be Alex Bowman and just do your deal. We are going to be there with you, and you're going to do great. Greg Ives is a great crew chief, and I just didn't want Alex to have too much pressure on him getting in that situation, because that is some big shoes to fill. No different than going behind Dale or Jeff Gordon and all the championships that he has. But I think Alex has embraced it really well. He and Greg Ives are very good together, and Ally does a ton of promoting, and they really like him. So it's all good.
And my second question, Chase has run up front most of the season, but is yet to get into Victory Lane. Is there anything that stands out to you with him, or is it mostly, you think, circumstances?
It's just circumstances. I mean, he had a 5-second lead at Daytona the road course. At Daytona on the road course, yeah. He had a 5-second lead, and we elected to pit and couldn't get back to the front. And so he's been in position to have a good day and win races, but it just hadn't worked out. He had a great run at I think it was Kansas. He was the guy with the new tires on the outside, got blocked there at the end. And, those things are going to happen, but he's too good. That team's too good. He'll be there. He'll be there. He's going to win some races, and he'll be there for the championship again.
Thank you very much.
Next, we'll go to Dustin Long.
Yeah, Rick, you mentioned, some of the challenges in kind of building up. Certainly a few years ago, there were some challenges with the organization, with the car, not able to win. Can you kind of talk about, I guess, this journey to going from some relevance to dominance that this organization has gone back to its kind of former self?
Yeah. Well, I think we had to do some work on the car. I think we submitted a car that was probably a little too vanilla and too many character lines and too much like a stock car, when everybody else, Ford and Toyota, went more aggressive, and then we had to pay for it. Then when the 1LE came out and all the teams worked together, it was Ganassi, Childress, and us, and GM. GM put a lot of effort into the car, and we're seeing the results. And I feel like we're even or as good as or better than a lot of the guys out there. So, when you've been on top of the mountain and you stand there and watch somebody else win 15 races or whatever, and you struggle, it just makes you work harder. And I think our group of people have so much pride in what has been accomplished, but now they're super excited because they see the youth in our camp. Nobody's going to retire anytime soon. So we've been through, I've seen too many drivers retire, so I've been through it with Dale and Jeff and Jimmy and others, but I think we are set for a really good run here for the next years, multiple years. So I like where we are. This doesn't mean a lot. I mean, this means we did it one time out of, 40 years, I guess, but, we just got to stay sharp and not think that we're ahead of anybody, but we've just got to race to be there. And so, I think we've got great momentum right now, and I can't believe Williams got 11 top 10s and run up front a lot. So, I mean, Lee, and he's won a race, won two races. So, you know, last year and this year, but I think we're ahead of schedule with Alex, with William. Chase showed what he could do last year. Having Kyle in the mix, his talent just makes everybody better.
And Rick, and I'm not trying to push you off to the side, but how much patience do you have as a car owner? How has your patience changed? As certainly you could be closer at any point to just retiring on a boat and enjoying your free time then, as opposed to being at the track as much. How much is there less patience on your behalf because of, in theory, maybe fewer opportunities to win races and championships?
Well, I do like to fish and I do like the boat. And when I go to the doctor anywhere, they ask me, am I retired? And I tell them I got two jobs. I work every day and the weekends, and I love it. I mean, that's what makes me get up in the morning. I'm competitive. I think the guys around me are very competitive, and we want to win, and we want to set records. And so, I mean, I can't. I'm not going to be every single week, 2 days a weekend, if we get back to it at the track. But I'm there with the guys. I'll be there with them in the morning, and you know, I balance it, but I love it. I mean, I've raced all my life. That's all I've done. Now, the two things I love in my life, other than my family, is the car business and racing. And I've been fortunate to be able to make a living doing both of them. So now I don't see retiring anytime soon.
Thank you, Rick.
And we'll take one final question from Mr. Hendrick from Davey Siegel.
Hey, Mr. H. So going off that last question there, like, you've seen a lot of Hall of Famers come through your stable, too many to name. What are your feelings with this specific group that you have assembled now when you have a day like this and you have the momentum that you do? And how does it compare to the days of past dominating and winning championships with Terry, Jeff, Jimmy, and those guys?
Well, you know, I kind of like it better in the old days when you'd have a bunch of points lead and you didn't have to, you know, go to a round of four, round of eight, and, you know, have a little spread. And if you had a really good year, you know, kind of had a lock. It's hard to do it now. I mean, it's hard to, you could have a flat tire or anything can just take you out of it after you've had a banner year. So, you know, I think these guys, William at 23, has got so much ahead of him. Chase at his age and Alex and Kyle. So they're young guys. I mean, they've got a lot of runway ahead of them, and we should just get better. They will get better. We will get better. And I love the chemistry. So I think we're in good shape for a while.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Sure. Hendrick, well, congratulations on the fantastic day at Dover today. And we appreciate your time.
No, thank you. Good to see people without a mask.
All right, we are now going to be joined by our race-winning driver, Alex Bowman, driver of the number 48 Ally Chevrolet, and I believe we will also have his crew chief, Greg Ives, joining us. Yeah. Let me get to Alex here and spotlight him.
Greg, go to your... My crew chief is yelling at me. I don't know if you guys can hear me.
We can hear you.
Greg is yelling through this glass, so if you need to find him, he's right outside of this window, looking like an idiot.
I think we're going to get him back into the main room where we just had Mr. Hendrick, so we'll track him down. It looks like he's settling in there. So, all right, well, we'll start off with questions for Alex. Please raise your hand by going to the reactions tab. We'll start off with Bob Pockris.
Yeah, Alex, this was a track position game. How confident were you after you got the lead on that pit stop?
I think straight up the five was a little bit better than us, but I knew that, you know, track position was key, and clean air was tough today. Tougher than previous races here, I feel like, a little bit. So I just felt like if I could keep the bottom closed off, it'd be pretty hard for him to get to me. And if he did get to me, he'd have to wear his stuff out pretty bad. So, yeah, I mean, my pit crew, I feel like, won the race, you know, getting us off pit road first there, but, man, just really cool to get to race Kyle and have such a great day for Hendrick Motorsports.
And Mr. H said that it's pretty much a formality for you to sign a an extension for multiple years. Do you feel any more comfortable in your future now than your typical, I never know really what's going to happen with me?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Just being at Hendrick Motorsports is obviously where I want to be, and I want to continue to work with Ally and drive the 48 car. So, like he said, we've been working on it, and I think, you know, I want to be there. They want me to drive their race car. So it's cool to have a guy like Rick Hendricks say he wants you to continue driving his race car. It means a lot to me, and really special place to be, and appreciative for the opportunity.
All right. And to let everyone know, we're also joined by crew chief Greg Ives. So we'll open up to questions for both Alex and Greg. Bob, I wasn't sure if you had one for Greg before we let you go.
I'm good, thank you.
Okay. Then we
will. Yeah, nobody wants to ask Greg questions anyway.
Next, we'll go to Mark Garrow.
Thank you. Alex, how does it feel? You had like a runaway train with these first four guys with finishing in the top four, but you were the locomotive, not the caboose on this deal. So how did it feel to be the locomotive pulling that train to a 1-2-3-4 finish?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. You know, I feel like we've been off for a couple of weeks, but we're still the same race team that won in Richmond. And we've been probably a little down on ourselves. So just try to get the guys back motivated after a rough week last week in Darlington. And, you know, our pit stops were incredible today, but to run 1-2-3-4 for HMS, so cool. I don't know when the last time that happened was, but it's been a long time, and really, really cool to see it.
Thank you.
Next, we're going to go to Matt Pensick.
Hey, Alex, getting back to the pit stops that you and the pit crew, what was the reaction when you did this burnout in front of them? Was that for them because of what they were able to do for the team today?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think, you know, if we don't beat the five off pit road, we probably don't beat them in the race. So, you know, I give them all the credit for the win there. I think without them, we wouldn't have gotten it done. So appreciate Greg and all those guys working so hard throughout the week to continue to get better. And they've been super fast all year. So it's cool to win a race that you can really point back to them and say they're who got it done. And was cool to be able to do that. I feel like other guys do that all the time. Their pit crews come to the wall and I go to do burnouts and I can't even see any of my guys. So I yelled at them. I'm like, you guys got to come to the wall. So was really cool to get to do that.
All right. Thanks, Alex. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Next, we're going to go to Dan Galston.
Hey, Alex, what's the significance to you of both putting, obviously for yourself, into victory lane, but just also the 48 and to getting Rick closer to the record for most wins by one team?
Yeah, I just want to be the guy that ties them and beats them, right? Like all four of us want to be that guy. So it's cool to put us one closer, but yeah, I mean, I want to be the guy that gets those wins for Mr. H, because I feel like they're going to be, not that any wins not special, you know, they're all really special, especially when you only have four of them. But I feel like I really want to be the guy that gets that done for him.
Did it take him long to get that fire out?
I don't know. I stopped paying attention. It's a long way from when I was on fire in New Hampshire, that's for sure.
All right, next we're gonna go to Dustin Long.
Thank you. I've got a question for Alex and one for Greg. For Alex, certainly Greg has talked about in the past about pit road. I know you've talked about what the pit crew did today, but certainly there's a lot of things that take place with getting on pit road, getting off pit road. I guess kind of that attention to detail and just kind of how maybe Greg's helped or what you've kind of done to even be better on pit road so far.
Yeah, Greg yells at me whenever I don't maximize my lights and my segments and my rolling times and average speed charts. At Hendrick Motorsports, we really like charts. So in our meetings, we talk about charts, and there's a lot of charts. And sometimes I look bad on those charts, and that's when Greg yells at me. But there's a lot of different pit road charts and ways to look at it. And he's just trying to do whatever he can to help me maximize each and every area. So I feel like I'm gaining on it. You know, there are definitely guys that do a little bit better of a job than me right now still, but that 48 pit crew makes up for it a little bit because they are super fast each and every week.
And Greg, you talked a couple of weeks ago about the pit crew and just kind of your philosophy, and you talked more about consistency as opposed to, you know, make or break all the time. Can you kind of a little bit more detail about how you came to that philosophy, but also how does that philosophy work in a situation where it's kind of a winner take all pit stop, like on that last stop? And you guys, I think, had the fastest stop of the year.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's all about, you know, Alex said the details of it, but also letting the guys kind of play in their own realm, in their own space, and they want to play at a high level. So it's all about creating comfort in that high level stress environment. You know, when the last couple of weeks, you know, I've been putting them in a lot of changes, high stress environment, trying to get them to, you know, go fast when they have to make a lot of adjustments. And I think it's kind of like a batter swinging a heavier bat. You know, it's, I created some uncomfortable situations. You weren't looking really good as far as times on pit road. But ultimately I feel like for the adjustment stops, we were doing a good job of making up time and figuring out where we could had some deficit. And it's all about going down and talking. I talked to him this week. You know, I go down the film and I broke down how well or how bad I was doing. You know, I roll in that left front tire and I wasn't doing it right last weekend, and you know, opened it up, and you know, we all worked through it. They're not scared to tell the crew chief they need to that I need to get better in the situation. So I think ultimately being on the same platform as them, allowing them to play, make some mistakes. When mistakes come, learning from them rather than scolding them. So I really appreciate what they do. Appreciate the family that we've become. We've been together for, you know, 5-6 years now. So it's, you know, it's easy to work through complications when you have that open communication.
All right, next we're gonna go to Martin Frank with the Delaware News Journal.
Hey, Alex, obviously you won in the number 48 car. I was just wondering, like, you know, obviously Jimmy Johnson has dominated here for years, like what that means to you.
Yeah, it means a lot to me. I was terrible here when I would come here for other teams. I got a little better when I started driving for Junior Motorsports and had some okay runs here and there. And my first or second time here for Hendrick Motorsports, I was struggling in practice. And I texted Jimmy and bugged him all night before the race, and just tried to ask him what he does and how he approaches this place and what kind of line he runs. And I just stuck to that and really like try to run like Jimmy did and run the Jimmy Johnson line and just be tight against the black and super disciplined and super patient. And kind of do some of the same things that he does with the throttle. And, you know, the next year we came here, we were in second and third. And then last year we had a solid top five, and we've kind of been good here ever since. So to win here with a 48 car is special, but to do it using, I guess, tips that Jimmy taught me is pretty cool.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Next, we're going to go to Andrew Curlin for a question for Greg.
Yeah, Greg, you know, Alex has described his relationship with you, and it seems like you guys have similar personalities, but how would you describe your relationship with Alex, especially this year with two victories?
Oh, this question always is fun for Alex to pick on me a little bit, but yeah, I mean, we have a great relationship, and that's all because we love race cars. We love cars. We love racing and getting better. So the number one thing when it comes to a driver and my philosophy is the ability to learn. You know, I want that, you know, there's things that go on in my head, and sometimes it's hard for me to talk about them or tell Alex, and that's why he calls me the Riddler. But ultimately I get to the point where I just tell him what I want and he does it. And, you know, today we're working through some brake pressure stuff and talked to him through it. And, you know, he didn't get upset about it. I wasn't trying to make him upset. I was just trying to make him aware. So ultimately you have to have that relationship of trust and he understands and knows what I'm looking at. And he has the ability to respond the proper way in the car. And when we get out, you know, there's no hard feelings and we just go on our way and have fun again the next week, trying to overcome either a bad race or a race win, you know. And, you know, he talked about Darlington and we were up in the lounge and we're trying to figure out how, you know, right after a race, you definitely don't want to, you don't want to talk, but we were able to. And, you know, I told him, hey, pump the guys up, you know, get involved and pump them up. And he did. And I was in a situation where, you know, I was upset and frustrated with the car's performance and you needed him to, you know, do what he needed to do. So he did a good job overcoming the last few weeks. And, you know, ultimately that's because we have a relationship, not only with him and I, but throughout the whole race team.
Thanks, Greg.
Yep.
We're going to take one more for Greg before we have to let him go on to his other obligations. We will go to Davey Siegel. Oh, sorry, Jacob Seelman. Sorry, David. Go ahead, Jacob.
Thanks, Steph. Greg, Alex referenced it a little bit in his interview with Fox, but I know the dynamic of the team has been a little bit different in the wake of Rowdy's passing. What has Alan brought to the team, though, from your standpoint? Or, you know, how has he kind of changed or uplifted the dynamic in the wake of everything that you guys went through during the offseason?
You know, one of the biggest, you know, when you're going through that, one of the biggest things you have to do is find a connection, not only with the team, but you have to find that connection with the person that Rowdy was. And Alan and Rowdy had a friendship and a relationship prior. You know, he was somebody that understood Rowdy and his attitude towards, you know, everyday working. He understood Rowdy's personality from a team aspect and how valuable he was to us and keeping us motivated every day and every week. So that's where I found comfort with the guys around us. You know, the pit crew had a big say in how they replaced one of their fallen guys, you know. And you know, how was he going to mesh with the team? And you know, I rather took meshing with the team over talent. But, you know, Alan and Rowdy came in really close together. They stayed friends. They had a similar work ethic, you know, and ultimately, you know, it felt like the right choice for him to step into a position that was very difficult to endure and go through. And he helped us find a little bit of peace in it all. So yeah, very difficult, but ultimately, you know, that's kind of how it all worked out.
Thanks, Greg. Congratulations on the great day.
Thank you.
All right, Greg, we're going to let you continue on with your obligations. Thanks for joining us and congratulations on the win.
Thank you guys. Appreciate everybody.
And we're going to resume with questions for our race winner, Alex. We will go back to Andrew for a question for Alex.
Yeah, Alex, I know you mentioned like your crew guys were able to hop up on the wall, kind of a staple celebration for Dover. But, you know, with everything opening up starting this weekend, were you able to celebrate with them a little bit more than the Richmond victory?
Yeah, for sure. They were all in victory lane, which was really cool. Means the world to get to share that with them when I think so much of it was influenced by them. So really, really cool. Just appreciative to get to do that with them and really neat.
All right, now we're going to go back to Jacob with a question for Alex.
Thanks, Steph. Alex, first, congratulations. Wanted to get your take, if you've had a chance to you know, work with the pit crew some this year, on what Alan's brought to the team. You referenced him in your victory lane interview, and obviously the stop was brilliant at the end. I think the fastest of anybody this season to get you out front.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think Rowdy had a really big outgoing personality in a sea of awkwardness that is the 48 team. And I think Alan brings a really similar personality and outgoingness, and, you know, he's just a big personality and a lot of fun to be around, a lot of fun to talk to, can talk to anybody, always having a good time, always upbeat and positive. And, you know, Rowdy was that guy. You have a lot of really awkward people on the 48 team between Greg and I and some of the other pit crew guys and some of the team itself. Like, we're kind of a bunch of weirdos, but it gets the job done. And I feel like Alan, you know, brings it all together a little bit.
And to follow up on a comment from earlier from Mr. H, obviously all four teams are running at a really high level right now. Can you circle anything specific that maybe has changed or improved within the Hendrick shop that has got all four of you hitting on eight cylinders at the right time? Is this communication? I mean, what is it?
I don't think there's one thing you can pinpoint. I think it's everybody in the whole shop working super well together, all four race teams working well together. You know, Marshall Carlson doing a really good job kind of getting everybody together. Chad Knaus doing a really good job of kind of taking lead in the shop. But, you know, from the top down, you know, Jeff Andrews has a big part in everything. The four crew chiefs all the way to guys that sweep the floor at night. You know, it's a team effort. Everybody's all in, and it's a good atmosphere right now. All the cars are fast. We've been the 48 team, you know, we've had our struggles and our races that have gotten away from us, but everybody's been really fast, and that's just brought a great atmosphere and continuing to go well.
Next, we're going to go to Alan Cavana.
Hey, Alex, congratulations. I apologize. I'm already looking forward to the Coke 600, though. But
no worries.
But I'm thinking with that extra 100 miles, your fast pit crew, and the speed that the Hendrick cars have at 550 tracks, I mean, you're going to be one of the favorites going into that race. How do you feel about being now in that tier of drivers who are thought about as, Alex Bowman could go in and win this race? We think that's absolutely possible.
Yeah, I mean, I think we probably could have won both races there last year. We won a bunch of stages, and you know, the green white checker didn't really go our way the first one, and then I crashed all by myself when we should have won the second one. So Charlotte's probably my favorite oval we go to as far as the mile and a half stuff. It's got a lot of character. Some guys don't like it, but I think it's because they haven't figured it out. Once you kind of figure out turns three and four, it's a lot of fun, and you can kind of manipulate your race car to do what you want it to do, and I enjoy it. You can move around a lot of different grooves. It gets slick. It's a long, you know, grueling, fun race. So looking forward to 600 miles and being as prepared as I can be for it.
Is there really anything to that extra 100 miles anymore for a driver?
I think this race feels longer than that race does. Next week will probably be more physically challenging than the 600 is. Charlotte's not a place that really beats you up too bad. This place is really hard on you, and a road course in Texas in the middle of May is going to be pretty rough as well. So just, you know, I think all these races kind of strung together that are difficult physical days for us probably prepare us a little bit extra for the next weeks.
Thank you. Have fun.
Thanks.
Next, we're going to go to Devin Henry.
Thanks, Steph. Alex, congrats on the win, man. Looking back, I know that the short tracks, you know, the mile and unders haven't been your best friend, but now you have two this year. Throughout 2021, what have you learned about Greg, and what have you learned about this team that might be new to you?
I don't really think there's been a new thing for us. You know, I think we've definitely improved our short track program a ton. Richmond was a place that we had struggled at tremendously, but Dover was one of our best racetracks and has been for a long time. So I don't know if we're really learning new things, but we're definitely gelling really well. Probably doing a little better job of overcoming the rough weeks in between Richmond and here than I would have previously. Just trying to be a little better leader and be a little more upbeat. You know, Bristol, Martinsville, Kansas, Darlington, 2019 or 2020, I probably would have been pretty mad all week and pretty miserable to be around and just kind of angry about it. Just trying to stay really positive and be a good leader for these guys and do what I can to keep them pumped up. Cause I know, you know, we go to a lot of good places for us. Our weaknesses are shrinking. We're getting better at the places that we struggle at. And I feel like we can go about anywhere and win right now.
Thanks, Alex. Enjoy tonight.
Thanks.
Next, we're going to go to Daryl Kinsey.
Alex, we heard a couple of your teammates had issues with the brakes during the race. Did you have any issues with yours? Was it just an issue too much tape on the ducts or some of the track temp or anything like that?
You know, I haven't really talked to my teammates to know what they were fighting with. We had massive brake issues. Had no brakes, so got a long 400 laps pumping the brake pedal up, hoping they're going to work in the next corner, but you know, they worked when it counted. But yeah, we'll have to address what was wrong there, what we missed. Never had brake issues before here, so obviously we had really fast race cars to be able to overcome it, but definitely struggled with that a little more than we would.
And looking forward to next week, you guys are going to the Circuit of the Americas. You spoke a little bit about it earlier. How tough is it going to be to get a setup for that place, the limited amount of practice time you guys will have during the weekend?
Yeah, I don't even know how much practice we do or don't have, but it's the same for everybody. So we just got to go there and try to hit it off the bat. Chase has been there, so that's a big help. It'll be, you know, crucial to learn from him, and it's crucial to learn from him anytime we go to a road course. He's so good at them. So just trying to improve. I feel like our weak point there is going to be me as a race car driver, but I feel like if I do my job and do a good job for the team, we'll have a good solid day.
And thank you. Congratulations on the win today.
Thanks.
Next, we're going to go to Jeff Magliocchetti.
Thank you, Steph. Alex, congratulations. Thank you for joining us today. You know, this time last year, the number 48 Hendrick Motorsports Chevrolet was one of the most talked about rides in the circuit in terms of who was going to fill that seat in 2021. How does it feel to vindicate the faith that Mr. H had in you when he named you the successor to Jimmy Johnson?
Yeah, it's really cool. You know, to come to a place like Dover that the 48s had so much success at and get a win here. I've never won here with Mr. Hendrick here. So it's so cool to be able to do that. Just really neat. You know, I feel like throughout my career, I've had my fair share of doubters. So to be able to get two wins here to start off the season and, you know, be having a good start to the year is really cool.
And Mr. H said in his statements that, you know, he took you aside before his season started. He told you, quote, "You can't be Jimmy Johnson light. We want you to be Alex Bowman." In your opinion, in your words, who is Alex Bowman, multiple time race winner this year? Who is Alex Bowman?
Race car driver / weirdo, awkward human. I don't know. I feel like I'm just a regular guy. Like I obviously really enjoy what I get to do. Put a lot of time and hard work into trying to be the best race car driver I can be. But, you know, I don't have any like extravagant hobby, or I don't have this like super big personality. I'm not like a villain like you see some of the other guys. And like, I guess I don't have that. I just kind of am myself. I like to spend time at home with my dogs. I have a small group of friends, spend a ton of time at my shop working on the sprint car stuff. I'm there every day that I'm not at Hendrick Motorsports, or I'm in the simulator, I'm in my shop, laying underneath a race car working on it. So, yeah, that's all there is to it for my life.
Well, whatever it is, it's working for you. Congratulations and keep up the good work.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Next, we're going to go to Justin Palmer.
Hey, Alex, congrats on the victory today. We're heading up on COTA and the Coca-Cola 600, where NASCAR will hold both practice and qualifying sessions for those weekends. Have you missed the extra time at the racetrack? And are you and the drivers ready for the potential to add more sessions onto the schedule now that restrictions are starting to get lifted across the country?
I really enjoy the lack of practice. I feel like growing up, you know, you'd show up, you'd get one hot lap session, you qualify, heat race, and race. Your whole day was from like 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. and you were done. So I enjoy kind of the compact schedule, but I'm also looking forward to being able to work with my race team and try to maximize our race car for Sunday's race, something we haven't done in quite a while. So it's going to be cool to be able to do it. But I'm not going to lie, I definitely like the schedule we have now for sure.
Thank you, Alex, and congrats on today's victory.
Thank you.
All right, Alex. Well, thanks for joining us this evening. Congratulations on the win, and we will see you next week for that practice and qualifying.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. To all of our media, we will have audio and video on NASCARmedia.com here shortly. We will also have transcripts from tonight's press conferences coming shortly. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you during the week leading into COTA.
Thank you, staff.
Thank you.
Have a good night. Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you.